Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy faithfulness. We thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy. We thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and above all for Thy patience and Thy long-suffering. And we pray Thee now, Father, as we study Thy word, that Thou wilt by Thy Holy Spirit take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. Our study in the Gospel of Matthew takes us now in chapter 26 to verses 31 to 35. And as we come into this passage, we see another aspect of truth with reference to the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say, just before we look into this passage itself, to make a general comment about ourselves. It's such a natural thing for us to feel great assurance of our own intentions and our own future integrity at a time of celebration or of time of special attention. If you should belong to any kind of an organization at all, and some big meeting is held, some inspirational gathering is held, you're usually filled with the feeling that you're going to be a real faithful member from that time on, and you're going to do great things in that organization. This is true generally speaking, and it is true with reference to our relationship with the Lord. If we should happen to be at a church service and some very strong movement of the Spirit takes place amongst us, so that people are drawn nearer to the Lord, and we find ourselves actually lifted by the gospel, and there's great joy in the congregation, we tend to have the feeling that never again will we ever falter, and never again will we ever fail to do everything that we ought to do. And this passage of Scripture we're now going to study should help us to take a very sober view of ourselves in a case of that kind. Let's just see how it goes. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. This word offended does not, in the original, actually mean so much of personal hurt. This is not so much of being individually, personally hurt about something, so that you're offended in the sense that you take offense. It rather has the meaning that you would be disturbed or confused. You would have actually that you would have difficulty following through on the thing that you want to do. As if you were going to follow the Lord, you'd have difficulty being faithful, that kind of thing. But in verse 32 he says, But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee, and we'll pick things up again, we'll go along with things. So these words were spoken just after the institution of the Lord's Supper. Remember how he had gathered them together on that Last Supper occasion, and while he had them together, he had taken the bread and said, This is my body, and had taken the cup and said, This is my blood. Drink ye all of it. Now, following this institution of the Lord's Supper, which doubtless was very solemn and very impressive, and doubtless of great spiritual uplift to these people, it's not surprising, perhaps, that Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. A real, full confidence that he would always be faithful. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me three times. Peter saith unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. That's a good thing that sentence is in there, so you won't think it was only Peter. They all said it. By the way, here is something of a great interest about this. On the way to this feast, as they were going to the Passover, he had said something that searched their hearts. He was very sorrowful, and he said, One of you shall betray me. And now as he's coming away from the feast, afterwards he says, all of you shall be offended. All of you are going to be disturbed and upset and hindered. And here's also an interesting thing, if you'll notice. When he said, one of you shall betray me, each man wondered whether he was the one. Lord, is it I? But when he says, all of you shall be offended, Peter can speak out and say, I will never be offended. And before he's through, you read, likewise said all the disciples. Isn't that a strange thing? When the emphasis was on the individual, one of you shall be offended, there was real heart searching and a humble realization that any one of them might falter. But when it was said in a general way, all of you shall be offended, then the individuals could say, well, not me. Might be everybody else, but not me. I won't be. That kind of thing. This brings something very pressing to my mind and heart. As long as you and I stand before the Lord individually, and we look upon him person to person, and I think about me in the sight of the Lord, I'm humbled and realistically am conscious of my own shortcomings and have no difficulty repenting about myself. But just as soon as you take the focus off me personally and put it on the group as a whole, the church will do this, the church will do that, you'll all do this, you'll all do that, right away I get to feel pretty strong. I'm better than some, you see. I'm stronger than some. And right away, when you say, the whole church is going to miss this, I will take myself out and say, not I. I won't miss it. This is of great importance to us in this day and time in which we live. Very, very important for us to have this in mind. Because what you and I want is an honest, sincere, humble, but realistic response to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to emphasize it to you that it will come to you when you face him personally. It is of interest to think that on the way to the Lord's Supper, he tested them by saying, one of you shall betray me, and they all wondered whether they were the one. On the way away from the Lord's Supper, after they had had this supper, when he made the general remark, all of you shall be offended on account of me this night, one after another said, not I, not I, I wouldn't do that. While the two statements are not exactly identical or parallel, still they're very much alike. And it's of very great interest to me that these people showed a different attitude under different circumstances. In Peter, there was complete self-confidence. He was perfectly ready to stand alone. Though all men forsake thee, I won't. Now notice there, it was again a comparison of himself, personally, as over against the average man. And when he compared himself personally over against the average man, he felt confident. Because, you see, he must have had a pretty low estimate of what the common public would do. And after all of you have been out around a while, you'll have that. Because the common public, the average public citizen, does very little with reference to God. Wouldn't be anything much to be ahead of him. And so Peter has complete self-confidence by comparison. The Lord Jesus, however, knew what Peter would do, and he could tell Peter exactly what he would do, and knew it the day before, exactly when he would do it. But Peter's reaffirmation was just as strong. Though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. Now those of us who know the story as it goes on, we'll remember, and we'll come across it in our studies here, that later on he did do just exactly that very thing, but he certainly didn't expect to. Now, after we have looked at this, I want to raise a question with all of you who are listening to me. Is it possible that you and I are going along with a kind of a false inspiration about ourselves because we have a false image of our own faithfulness? Is it possible that, generally speaking, so far as you and I are concerned, that the idea we have about ourselves is in line with what we said we were going to do when we were greatly moved on a particular occasion. That may not be true. That may not be real. May not be realistic. If under a given situation at a certain time I'm in a church service and I'm greatly blessed, I can be greatly moved in spirit toward God, and I bow my heart before Him, and I'm anxious to please Him and anxious to serve Him, and I remember that very well. And I remember that in the height of my feeling toward Him, I committed myself to Him to serve Him. And because I really meant it, we'll say, and because I did commit myself to serve Him, I could very well go away with the feeling that I was pretty good. I had already committed myself to serve the Lord. I really amounted to something, but without realizing the fact that I am cherishing the memory of what I was going to do and giving myself credit for doing it. That's two different things. And some of us could be just like Peter, filled with self-confidence. I'll never forsake. You know what we mean? The man who was at that conference last summer, while I was at that conference, was deeply moved and greatly moved, and I pledged myself to serve the Lord. That's who I am. I'm the man that said he was going to serve the Lord. But is that true? Did you serve the Lord? Or are you even today flattering yourself with an untrue picture of yourself in terms of what you intended to do last summer? Something like that is the case here. When they were at the Lord's Supper, they felt full of themselves as what they were able to do. But when the Lord Jesus had told them, "One of you shall betray me," they felt personally that any one of them might do it. We need to be very faithful in our attitude toward the Lord, our God and Heavenly Father. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. Incline our hearts unto Thee, and especially to the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to walk with Him in all faithfulness. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen.